Hi, this is John St. John.
This is Dave Fenoy.
This is Ashley Birch.
Hey, it's Frank Grillo.
And you're listening to my favorite.
And you're listening?
Listen to this podcast.
Listen to the Game Fix Podcast.
To the Game Fix Podcast.
Welcome to Game Fix Podcast.
Game Fix Show.
Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah.
What?
That does not taste good at all.
Spider-Man takes leaks. Hulk takes fucking shits.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go, Payday! Payday!
Welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I am Spanish.
And I am Mike.
Yes, we might be joined by Verlaine. He's got some stuff going on with his family right now, so we're just kind of standing by. So hopefully everything's okay and he comes and joins us. If not, it's just you and me, Mike. It's just you and me tonight. So
mono e mono.
That's right. We're gonna battle tonight. I don't know if we're gonna battle or not. Probably not. But please, if you're watching this, please, or listening to it, that's fine too. You can check out all our stuff, gamefixshow.com. All of our stuff is there right on our website. You could download the show, listen to it, subscribe, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of stuff in there. Not only that, but there are plenty of beautiful, beautiful articles written by none other than our very own Gina and Mike, of course. Mike does a few on the side. He does a few. So, all right. So, yeah. So, thank you so much for joining us. There's a lot to get to on the show. We got to talk some Game Pass and a possible new Game Pass. Oh, wait, what? Is there? Okay, that's interesting. Also, we're probably going to get back into Activision and Blizzard if they possibly unionize. I don't know. I know I'm kind of sick and tired of talking about it, too. But it's okay. It turns out Horizon Zero Dawn could be a religious experience. It's true.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's true. Yeah, it's true. We'll get to that. Not only that, but furry controls. We'll get into that as well. But before we do that, let's start like we always do and talk about what we've been playing. So why don't you start us off, Mike? What have you been playing? I saw your tweet earlier today. Is it Tunic? What are you playing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Explain to us what that is.
And, oh, God. I immediately grew attached to this game.
Yeah.
So the best way that I could probably frame it, imagine if you took like the old Link's Awakening HD remake that came out for like the Switch, like either a year or like two years ago. And it carries that play style, mixed with a lot of really cool puzzle solving that sort of puts me in the mind of like some of the roguelikes that we've been seeing lately. So it's not really a game that you can like hammer your way through. You can't really muscle your way through enemies. It also doesn't give you like a map. This game is very open-ended in a lot of ways. And I think I've talked about it on the show before about how I don't really care much for the original Zelda because I thought that it was like too cryptic and it's not really informative. Sure, it's an influential game, but I don't really think it's aged well with time. And Tunic here, it kind of reminds me of what happened if you blended like Link's Awakening with Infernax. It's like got this great blend of like immersing yourself in the environment and learning how to navigate around. So your character is this unnamed little fox kid, and you wake up and you're just exploring this like pretty mysterious land, made even more mysterious by the fact that half of the game is in a native language that you can't translate.
What are you playing this on, by the way? Can I ask you that?
Xbox.
On Xbox. Okay, go ahead.
This is a currently Xbox console exclusive, and I think it's coming to PC. And a part of the reason why I actually wanted to play this game is because it was getting review bombed by Sony fans because it wasn't coming to the PS4 or PS5 consoles like you do. So
It says on the Xbox One as a timed exclusive for consoles. So it'll eventually come to PC. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So half of the language in this game is like translated. Even when you get the instruction manual, there's like some things that are in like it's like written in scribes. You can't really decipher it. And I was playing more to see if the more you play it, the more the language gets unlocked. Controls, if you played a Zelda game, you've got like your three button controls where you can like attach items, weapons, or a shield to. There's a really interesting counter and parry system, because like you start out with a stick and you'll eventually get a sword. The combat feels very refreshing. It's more than just like hacking and slashing enemies, because enemies can counter you, and kind of like in Dead Cells, you can like learn this sort of just frame parry where you can get like an insta strike. So there's like only been a handful of healing items that I've found, and the game gets pretty tough. The game's pretty tough early on because you're almost practically helpless. So yeah, I put hours into this game, but after I downloaded it, and yeah, I'll probably go back to it after the show here.
Awesome. Is it a freebie? Is it a free game or?
It can be downloaded through Game Pass.
Oh, it's a Game Pass game. Oh, cool. Okay, yeah, dude, I'm definitely gonna try that for sure. 100%. All right. Well, what else? What else?
Well, you also probably saw a little earlier, I was playing Castlevania Dracula.
I did.
X. And I booted that one and was playing that one.
I retweeted it on her Twitter, so you guys can actually go watch him complete that game. So yeah.
Oh, man, I almost wanted to record like a full run playthrough, but by the time I was done, I didn't have my capture card hooked up.
No. So
I just used like Gorilla Cam with my phone and just recorded it that way
Are you serious? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, it actually looked nice. Okay, cool. Go ahead.
this thing actually has a pretty, it has a hell of a camera.
I didn't even notice that. All right, cool. Right on. You didn't even have to say that, but now that you said that, now I'm like, I have to like go and watch it and like really look at it and be like, oh, okay.
it's like you can tell a bit for that matter. I think it's like midway through the recording, you can hear my battery notification. My phone's dying. So. that one. I also went back to. I also played a little bit of Sifu on the PS4 again. Nice. Trying to get good at that game. It's still beating my ass.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It looks cool though. Looks like a cool game.
Yeah, and that's about what I've been playing for this week.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. I recently had a big purchase. I did. I bought an Xbox Series S. Because you can't find X's, so I got an S. Plus, I wasn't going to pay another like $650 for a fucking console. So I went with the S, knowing that we just found out that there is a console exclusive title that's at least for free on the next gen. It's not really console exclusive, but if you have a Series S or X, it's actually a free game. You could play it anytime you want. The game is called Century, Age of Ashes. Verlaine, I believe, mentioned it last week. It is a like a 6-on-6 or 3-on-3, like kind of a fighter game. But you are riding dragons and blowing fire and fireballs and like, dude, this game. I was like, okay, well, let's see what this is all about. Because, like, Verlaine was like, dude, this game is so awesome. You need to see this. So I was like, all right, well, I plan to get an Xbox One or Xbox Series S. I can't even say it anymore. So I did that, and I downloaded it. I played it, and he's right. The game's awesome. The game's actually fucking awesome. You are, like I said, you are a dragon rider, and you battle each other with other dragons. Yeah, it's pretty cool. At this point, it seems like there isn't a lot of characters to choose from. I think there's only three right now. So,
interesting.
Yeah, one is like a kind of like your normal, you know, beat 'em up basher type guy, you know, melee guy. Although keep in mind they're on dragons, so they're not really melee. And then the other guy is like a shadow, like Reaper type fellow. And then the other is a female who is a healer, which is completely sexist and, you know, but whatever. It's like, oh yeah, we'll give the healing to the female. I just,
come on, Century, get with the times.
Get with the time. Well, maybe it's not because it's like set back in the day. But the game is awesome.
It's historically accurate.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, it is, the gameplay is really fun. Flying around with those dragons are awesome.
Yeah, when I finally looked up a trailer for it, because I remember Liam was talking about it, I'm like, I want to give this a shot. It looks like what happened if you like combined Panzer Dragoon with like a multiplayer 3-on-3 shooter.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. It really is. It's fun. I have to admit, it is fun. Like, it is a fun game. So, well, if you want to play it for free and you're planning on getting an Xbox S or X, I would wait until you get that, until you play it, just because I don't know. Yeah. I think it's like a $30-$40 game. So, but yeah. So if you're gonna get the console anyway, you might as well wait and play it there. So yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I gotta freaking get myself a Series S. Yeah. I was planning on getting one anyway, but it's gonna come to a point where I'm gonna start missing out on some of this stuff.
And this is the first one. This was like, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh. Like, so I had to look it up, and I was like, okay, it's not console exclusive, but you can only get it free on Xbox S or Series S and X. So I was like, okay, maybe it's time. It's time. It's been long enough, over a year now, right? It's been over a year.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I jumped on it and got the cheaper system, and that's fine because I have a PS5 disc PS5. So I didn't need the big console, even though like Verlaine's like, you should hold out and get the X, but It's okay. Yeah, I'll be fine.
I would have flipped the coin on that one because, like, if I find a Series S, I'm gonna grab it.
Yeah,
but
oh, they're everywhere, dude. You could find one right now.
Yeah, I think the last time I was at Target, I saw one on the show. Like, first time this year,
dude. That's where I got mine. They had probably 10 of them.
Dang.
So they're not hard to find. So if you really wanted to go get one, it wouldn't be hard to find. It wouldn't. I mean, I know Walmart has them. I know I looked up on Best Buy. They have them. So, you know, I did a little pricing and all that. Obviously, it's all the same price. Like, there's no difference in price, which is good, though, at least. At least I know what I'm getting out of the deal. So, but yeah, that's that. And I've been playing Horizon Forbidden West, not Horizon Zero Dawn, although I will probably go back to that at some point. But yeah, Horizon Forbidden West. And it's still pretty awesome. It's just a great game. It's so big. Dude, this game is huge. Oh my God. I still haven't gotten to every part of the map.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. Have you, like, got the achievement for, like, clearing out all the shrouded area
yet? No, not yet. Not yet. Like, dude, there is a lot. But you have to keep in mind, because, you know, I do, like, side missions and stuff. So I get distracted a lot. And I'm like, you know what? There's these robot, you know, dinosaurs. I'm gonna have some fun with them. I'm going to take them out. So
yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah. So, all right, yeah. So that's what I've been playing. If you guys are in the chat room, we'd love to hear what you guys are playing. So kind of kindly, don't be mean about it. I don't know why I'm saying that, but just let us know what you've been playing. We're always interested, yeah, because that's what we do. That's what we do here. Okay. So real quick, before we get into anything. Video game related, I do need to touch on one thing. It's actually something I kind of want to talk about, and I know this has nothing to do with video games, but there was an incident that happened last night at the Oscars. I don't know if you were aware of this.
What did the five fingers say to the face?
Apparently, Will Smith decided it was a good idea to smack Chris Rock in the mouth over a comment over his sick wife. I could see where he's coming from. Obviously, it's bad.
It's just bad form.
It's bad luck, man. Yeah, right? Right? I don't know. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I had to at least mention it because this was insane. I've never seen anything like it. Like it because of it, it probably has more eyes on the Oscar than it has ever had eyes on the Oscars, right? At least in like the last 10 years. I don't know. Did you see this? Did you see the whole incident? And like he's like, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
I didn't catch it live. Like my mom asked me if it was staged. And I went to look it up. He makes a G.I. Jane joke, a 27-year-old movie. So yeah. I don't even know why he got all that hot about it, but it was interesting because Chris made the joke. Will's laughing. You could see that Jane is like, she's clearly uncomfortable.
She's mad. Yeah.
And she made the face. And then all of a sudden, Will walks up, just hauls off and hits him. And God, I'll give credit to Chris Rock. He probably handled that way better than I did.
Oh, 100%.
Like you don't walk up to me, slap me, and then turn around and walk away like that shit didn't happen.
Right?
I'm German suplexing you.
Come on, you know what I mean? It's just like cheese, but. It turns out there's been an update. I don't know if any, this is kind of breaking. So people, if you're watching, this is Will actually posted something on his I believe Instagram. Is this Instagram? Yeah, Instagram account. This is. There's a lot of words, but here it is. His violence in all of its forms is poisonous and destructive. My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and inexcusable. His jokes at my expense are a part of the job, but a joke about Jada's medical condition is too much for me to bear, and I reacted emotionally. I would like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. I was out of line and I was wrong. I am embarrassed at my blah, 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 blah. Okay. Yeah, we get it. So, okay. So I apologized. Do you forgive him? Are you going to go watch? I was going to say Prince of Bel-Air. I don't know. Yeah. Something. Are you going to watch nothing? No, probably not. Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't even have watched it even if it didn't happen.
You going to go watch King Richard? Is that what it's called? King.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is.
I want Wild Wild West 2, damn it.
Right? Come on, what are we doing here? Which is funny because he slaps someone, then he wins best actor. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, of course. Of course that happened, but you know, whatever. Okay. All right, I just wanted to at least touch on that just because I thought that was insane and like it was just too good to ignore. And so that's why I wanted to at least get it out there. So, okay, well, let's get back into video games. That's what we do here. At least mostly, to do that, why don't you tell us what you are be reviewing for tomorrow for the retro reboot? We'll get back into the video game talk. Yeah. Go for it.
My retro reboot this week. How do you feel about Superman games? Did anything for
warm? maybe a little cold. Probably cold.
Yeah. Like. Poor Superman's kind of had his a not fantastic run with video games.
Okay.
Not as successful as Spider-Man or Batman. So I thought it'd be a pretty interesting time in wake of a new Batman movie to review the death and return of Superman on the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis.
Okay, so you're going to do both. Okay, awesome. Compare and contrast.
Mostly covering the Super Nintendo version, because like the games are mostly the same. Like the SNES version has like some graphical advantages. This was like a brawler game that was made by Blizzard Entertainment back in the day.
Ooh.
I remember playing it. I remember renting it a couple of times.
That's it's a like Blizzard game? That's a Blizzard game? I don't know if I believe you. I should believe you, but...
I actually shocked myself to like learn that when I had looked it up.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Blizzard's name on only a couple of games back in the day.
Yeah.
Like Rock and Roll Racing and God, there was like another one.
StarCraft, bro.
Yeah. And because I know them formally through StarCraft and Warcraft.
Warcraft, right. Right.
And I didn't know that they even made like 16-bit games, but this one
turns out they hated women then too, but I don't know if that's true. Well, it's not anymore. It's not anymore.
But you know what? Lois Lane was only in one frame of the game.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Since we're talking about it anyway. Oh, yeah. By the way, go check out that that retro. Go ahead.
That'll be up on the website tomorrow at somewhere between noon and 1 p.m.
The retro reboot. Okay. For a split second, I totally forgot the name of the segment, but yeah, okay. We got it. We brought it all around
on
back.
Game Pro.
Get it on Game Pro. Yeah, remember that? That was a thing. Was it? Is it still? No, it's not a thing anymore.
They're long gone.
That's gone.
I miss them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why do you miss them?
Scary Larry. I don't know if you remember the Scary Larry sections, but he always reviewed some of the horror themed games. And when Resident Evil was at its peak, like he always reviewed those games.
Oh, okay.
And I loved that little bit.
Yeah.
And also the little review faces.
I know that. I know what that is. So. All right. Well, since we're on Activision Blizzard, let's just get through this story because this is good. This is the other side of things, you know, because, when we first started talking about, the purchase of Activision Blizzard from via Microsoft, we were like, okay, maybe this is a better future. You know what I mean? Like you could see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're like, okay, this is something that could be good. Well, it turns out I think it is. I think this is exactly what we all thought as you know, as I know as well, that Microsoft is squeaky, squeaky fucking clean. So, you know, for something to tarnish their name, I was like, I don't think that's going to happen. Well, like I said, I don't think it's going to at all. So they have announced if Activision Blizzard recognizes a union, they said that they will not stand in their way. talk about two sides of the coin, right? And more power to Microsoft. I think it's great. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, it's a baby steps, long time coming.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's pretty good to finally hear like a major developer not just completely shut down unions or like go behind the backs and hire like union busting lawyers and stuff to shrink this down. But they have to earn some goodwill back somehow.
Like, here's the thing: what's a union for? Do you know what unions are for?
Most unions are designed for ensuring that employees will get like proper time off.
Fair pay,
proper connections to human resources, benefits, and such.
All of it goes into things. So here's the thing, and usually if something goes wrong, obviously you go to the union and then they kind of do something about this. But if nothing is going wrong as far as the squeakiness of Microsoft, then you'll never really have to worry about it, which is why they don't mind. I think, right? Like, I feel like I'm kind of looking at this through, you know, like, it's not rose-colored glasses, but, like, I'm looking through this, like, through as clear as it can be. And that, to me, that's what they're saying. They're like, you know, do it. We're fair, and we're going to continue to be fair. So I think that's good. It really rings well moving forward for, like, developers and other video game companies, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, and for the staff, that's fair. I hope that this is like a growing trend because I'd like to see like the programmers specifically get like the work that they're, because we always hear about like what like the CEOs rake in, and yeah, sure, they probably have a lot to do with like the negotiations and everything, but like some of the people that does a great deal of the grunt work, I feel like it's finally time to pay them dues. These video games gross bigger profits than like most movies.
Yep.
And for them to continually be treated the way they are, like voice actors and actresses in games, like they don't really see any a larger cut of that, of any of this. So why not give them that too? It's not really going to slice in the profits all that much. Like games will generally make that money back through DLC or microtransactions or like roadmaps. So why not just go for like making a much safer, much cleaner work environment? I think there was a story that I'd seen because I wrote that article about how Bandai Namco was giving raises for their employees.
That's
for
right.
The success of Elden Ring. However, from Softworks, the developers of the game, they still kind of have rough work conditions and they're still relatively underpaid. Like, yeah, that's a Japanese company, so Perhaps the situations and ties are different there. But like over here, where like a lot of these major Western developers, it would also be great to want to bring in some like new, some like new blood. Because if they're having trouble hiring women because of the merger, what better way to do that than have a union who you could talk to keep anything that comes out of line in check?
Yes. Which is funny because they blamed Microsoft for that.
Yeah.
What?
It's like it feels like this company is like going through some sort of like mood switch every week.
Yeah, really.
It's a wacky story.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, right? It's kind of weird, but
it's just bizarre. At least with CD Projekt Red, I know that we were getting into like a shitstorm. With Activision, it's so all over the place, it's getting exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Let's hope, like you said, it's kind of on the upswing, and you know, and we get some positive shit, which is, I guess, right? Being telling them that it's cool, unionized, that's positive, right? I think that's positive. You know,
all right, mm-hmm.
That's good. They're actually giving their employees a voice. Can you? What?
No,
how dare they?
We wouldn't have to hear about somebody coming out and speaking in like. Under the guise of anonymity. I don't know if I said that right.
Anonymity. Tomato, tomato.
Like, what kind of fucking witness protection thing is this, where somebody can't reveal their real name for fear of being blackballed by an industry?
Right.
Like,
and who the hell says tomato? No one says that.
Ever.
None. Nobody says that. Yeah. No, I hear you. All right. Let's move on. Right. Righteous. Yeah. All right. So it turns out Project Spartacus is a thing. It's a code name for whatever PlayStation is going to call their answer to the Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass. So, at this point, they have a tier system that they're doing. I guess it's called Neo, PlayStation Plus Neo. Is that right?
Oh, that's a better name.
I think that is right. Okay, PlayStation. At least that's the leak. That's what the leak says. Who knows what they're actually? They'll probably change it because you know. Oh, heaven forbid it leaks. So PlayStation Plus. Bronze, it will get online play and free game demos for $9.99 every 3 months. Okay, every 3 months. Silver gets both those plus game streaming for $30 every 3 months, so $10 a month for that. Gold members will get online play, demos, game streaming, and monthly free games. And then monthly store discounts for $40 every 3 months. And then platinum, Jesus Christ, if this is true, this is crazy, gets all of that plus access to select PS3, PS4, and PS5 titles streaming. Oh, and that's for 60. Sorry. Okay, I just didn't mention that. So 10, 30, 40, and 60. That's what we're looking at here.
So the prices aren't really all that much different.
No, but I mean, like, you know, I've been paying $60 a year for to be online for PlayStation. You know, I think, well, maybe, wait, did it go? It went to 70, right? I could be wrong. Whatever.
I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, okay. So if you look at this, I mean, it's right off the bat, it's more online play, free game demos. You get it for $10 every 3 months. Is that right? Yeah. Every 3 months is $10. So then, so 40. So, okay. So you could spend $40 a year and only get online play. You don't get all the special shit. I guess that's a better deal, right?
Yeah. Like as per inflation, I guess it could be worse.
Yeah. Yeah. But you see, I have the lowest tier and I'm getting free games. So all of a sudden, what are they going to do? Take those away? I don't know. So this
That'd be a Nintendo move.
Yeah, this is weird. I
wonder if they threw this out here just to see how people would gauge it. And a lot of the feedback I've seen are people rationalizing of saying, oh, well, you're still kind of relatively paying the same price. And to an extent, they're kind of right. However, I don't know if the perks justify the price hike.
Yeah.
Because you still got the demos and everything with, like, it, like, if you currently have, like, PlayStation Plus right now, you almost have all of that for the most part. Yeah. So I guess you're paying more for probably, like, exclusive demos or betas. How often are those going to pop up? Like, if you ever take to justify it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And, like, I mean, if there's any reason why I still throw money towards PlayStation Plus is because I play my fighting games a lot.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So, like, that's here. I can see everybody gravitating towards the silver package for now.
Let me say this before you keep going. That's to say that this is all real. These prices might not be accurate. I mean, you know how leaks go. So
yeah, I
could see. Yeah, the silver would be probably the one that's right there. It's $29.99 every 3 months. Yeah, but see, okay, here's the weird part. The picture that I'm looking at, as far as the Reddit post goes, it says $29.99 every 3 months, and then underneath it says $24.99. So.
I noticed that.
Yeah, that's kind of a red flag, if you ask me. You know, but we talk about these things. This could happen as they're saying, as soon as next week. So if this is real, it's real. That's awesome. Whatever we knew ahead of time, but with that one little discrepancy, that makes me want to say that this could be not real, right?
Yeah. It's probably a gaffe that somebody overlooked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, interesting. Here, like, nobody would notice. Somebody forgot to double check what they were photoshopping.
Yeah.
Would it crush Game? I don't think it would crush Game Pass.
No. Oh my God. No, dude. Game Pass is by far the best. The best buy in gaming in general. And not just for, like, you and I, not just for the gamer, but for the developers too, because, like,
yeah.
they actually make more money giving games away on Game Pass, because all of a sudden it's a game you wouldn't normally download or buy, and you're playing it, and all of a sudden you love it. And so then you start buying DLC or you start doing whatever. So, like, all of those people that wouldn't buy the game right off the bat, well, that's what the best thing about Game Pass is. So, like, right now, I think PlayStation would be just playing catch up. I mean, that's what they are. That's what they're doing right now. So I am not holding my breath for a great announcement if this happens next week.
Same. But, like, this is Sony's still trying to coin that games as a service thing, and yeah. I still think that I think they're probably going to try to hold out for one more console generation before they realize, all right, we just have to make the jump. We need live service games. We need these kind of, like, roadmaps for titles. And, like, I mean, you kind of saw it with how, like, a game like Destruction All-Stars or Knockout City.
Yeah.
They just thought, okay, we'll just slap this on there and our community's going to play it. But you're not really giving them a reason why they would want to continue playing it on top of the games having, like, shitty internet. I was actually surprised that it's higher, that it's, like, highest tier. It's going with PS3 and PS4 games. I'm surprised that the PlayStation 2 games, or, like, PlayStation 1 games.
I know. What about those? Why can't we have those? What are we doing here?
Yeah,
wouldn't that be the easier games to give?
Like, that's kind of what I'd figure. Like that's what people have been asking for when the talk of backwards compatibility started up. Yeah. Xbox went back to their original console and like pulled, like, a lot of those games out there. And a lot of people have very fond memories of, like, some PS1 games that many of those titles digitally are still locked onto the PlayStation 3. The PlayStation 3 is eventually going to have to kill its online store because those servers aren't going to run forever. It's going to be not very cost efficient for them to keep that going. So they easily could have lumped, like, the PS1 classics onto, like, the gold or silver tier. That's what I thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
And like some of the PS2 titles on like PlayStation Now, bundle that with, like, the gold, or then you can pay, like, the $60 for, like, the complete thing. Like, I'm gonna call the first leak a fake.
I am. I think I've gotten to the point, because like I've been thinking about it, obviously, as we've been talking about this, and I don't think that PlayStation would do this. That's too expensive. $60 every 3 months? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, right. Come on, do better. You could be at it better than that. So there's actually another leak. see now I don't even know if they're leaks, if they're just people making shit up. But this one seems a little bit more down to earth. In most people's price ranges, and very, as they put it, very Disney Plus of them. So this one says PS Plus Essentials is $10 a month and you get PlayStation Plus. Okay. The next tier is PS Plus Extra. It's $13 a month. You get Plus, PlayStation 4 library, PlayStation 5 library. PS Plus Premium is $16 a month. And you get Plus, PS4 library, PS5 library, extended demos, and backwards compatible library games and game streaming. So that actually makes way more sense than $60 every 3 months. I mean, dude, I would never do that. I would never do that.
The math alone would freaking drive you borderline bankrupt.
Like, dude, that's, I mean, every three, $60 every 3 months? Come on.
I'm doing like the rough math in my head on this. You're looking at investing almost...
It's almost $250.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's about $240. Well, I mean, plus tax or whatever it'll be. So it'd be around like $250 a year to have this. And right now, the better buy right now is $15 a month that the Game Pass offers. Like, that's the better buy, right? Like, easily. So which is why I'm hoping that the second leak is the right one, because announce that, I'll be like, oh, okay, all right. Now I'm hoping if you buy it for a year, it'll be cheaper. That's what I'm hoping.
Or if there's like a family bundle or something.
Yeah.
Like
that. And I would totally do that. I would definitely get it for the year for sure. I would do it just like I do now. So, this is interesting. Obviously we're going to learn more hopefully by next week, if not next week, in the next few weeks. So this is something, and is it called PlayStation Neo? I think that's kind of a stupid name. See, there's another part of that I'm like, you know what? This is fake.
Yeah. That's not very catchy. It's not eye grabby. It sounds confusing because it sounds like you're selling a new console or something.
Yeah. Yeah. PlayStation Neo. Yeah. Right. Oh my God. PlayStation's the one. I'm sorry. That was a terrible joke.
PS1. They're going to make another PS1.
No, the one. No, it's the one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
All right. Well, let's go from PlayStation Plus to Rockstar had an interesting announcement that I got to tell you, man, I love this. I love it. I think they're right there. This game is that big. This game has that many players to do this. Rockstar announces GTA Plus, a new subscription service for GTA Online. All right. Like, tell me this is a bad idea. Like, especially for Rockstar. Like, tell me this is a bad idea, because I can't figure out anywhere that this is a bad idea.
This is, I assume this is pretty much what people would have wanted from the game.
Sure.
Like a lot of the discourse of it, I don't know if people are still just pissed off at the GTA anthology or the fact that Grand Theft Auto 5 won't go away, but this is kind of being used as like more reasons to take jabs at Rockstar. I think this is the smartest thing that they've done.
Yeah.
In like a long time, because Grand Theft Auto 5, it's getting close to a decade of having a lifetime. So why not just convert that game into almost like a Minecraft-esque build, and you could practically have it live forever? Because like games like Final Fantasy 14 has been running since 2013, 2014. Fantasy Star Online 2, it's had a dedicated community for almost 10 years. And if there's one thing that people love about like Grand Theft Auto, it's its online mode. It has a lot of life to it. why not convert that into this?
Yeah, so this, absolutely. So this is what they're saying. GTA Plus membership will cost you $5.99 a month, so about $6 a month. And it's exclusive to PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. So this is a next gen exclusive. So there you go. There you go, Mike. There's another check mark to get a new Series S, or at least an S, yeah.
They are teasing me here.
Totally. So, but okay, what do you get for that? Why do we even need this? Apparently you'll get automatically delivered to your Maze bank account 500,000 of GTA bucks, whatever they call them. Yacht owners can upgrade to the Aquarius super yacht at no additional cost. Well, that's amazing. So you get more wardrobe. I'll just go through. There's a bunch of stuff. Free paints and emblems at the auto shop. Three times GTA cash for the race series. So you get lots more cash for that. And then two times a car meet rep on the street race series. So this is definitely aimed towards online, like 100%. So but I think it's a great idea because it totally works. It's GTA. Of course. If you're a GTA like crazy, for $6 a month, you get 500,000 in your bank account. I would do it at least for a month. Right.
I'll say it'd be worth trying out. It's interesting. It just crossed my mind. And I know this is this game's Star Citizen has been a punching bag of like me and James for like the longest time.
Not just you and James.
What Rockstar is doing, it's pretty much Star Citizen.
Yeah.
Except with Grand Theft Auto.
Except with a better game.
Yeah. A game that actually works.
Hey, that's so weird.
And that one that's just tied into a pyramid scheme. So this way you don't have to feel like you need the pay to play mechanic for the shark cards.
Yep.
It's just your world and your environment that you can just log in and do random shit in. I almost feel like Saints Row tried to tap into that either, but they couldn't quite do it.
Good luck. I mean, and they're talking about having a new Saints Row, so we'll see what that's all about. Sees the light of day.
But yeah, like they can have this, and Grand Theft Auto 6 can still coexist.
Yep. So and it'll be that much more because once the GTA Plus is established for 5, it'll just turn over to 6, right? Like that's just what it's going to do. So that's good. That's good. They're going to work all the bugs out for GTA 5 before 6 comes out. That's great. That's good. That's what we want. Good job. Oh, people doing their job and their due diligence to make sure the game runs smoothly. That's weird, right?
What a novel concept.
Yeah, right? article you wrote, actually. Let's get to that. Nintendo. Apparently, scans of the 1996 Japanese guidebook for Super Mario 64 has been removed from a website because that's just what Nintendo does. How long was this up, by the way?
It probably wasn't up for very long. No. I think it might have been up for like several months or so.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought the way I read it, I thought it was up like since like 95. Like it's just been sitting on the online. But okay, all right, that's a little better.
Yeah, because like the comfort food website, it's just like an archival thing for like magazine covers and just images that you can just kind of it's pretty much like a virtual museum. Just go in and click on it and go, oh hey, that's something that I remember.
Yeah,
there's been reference to that, and it was funny that it had been up for a while and it wasn't called attention to until Kotaku had wrote an article about it like a couple of weeks before.
Go figure.
That caught Nintendo's eye, and then they contacted them and told them to take it down, and then Kotaku has the audacity to go, oh, well, look at the stuff Nintendo's taking away from here. You are the assholes that brought it to their attention.
Yep.
You idiots.
I don't know, man.
But yeah, this is like a new step forward in like DMCA claims. I was almost going to wear a Mario shirt on the show today just to see if I get claimed by it.
Yeah.
But like images from a guidebook when I looked it up, this strategy guide, which was only released in Japan, goes for probably like $200 or $300.
Wow.
So I don't know.
Yeah, but they're not selling it. Nintendo isn't selling it, right? Like it's just a collector's item, right? Like
Yeah, practically. I mean, who needs a strategy guide for Mario Super Mario 64 in 2022?
So ridiculous.
Like, are you guys planning on redistributing this?
Yeah, like, sure. Well, if you're doing that, then okay, I get it. But if you're not, then hit the bricks, man. That's what I say.
Going after piracy, I can kind of understand that.
Sure.
Yeah, like, but magazine covers, imageries.
Like, I didn't even know it existed, to be fair.
I heard of it in passing, but I'd like forgotten about it because Nintendo Life, I think, wrote about it last year or 2 years ago. There was no public outcry over that. So it's been out there, and other sites still do have it up. Like, it's not that hard to Google image search to see that, like, WordPress article sites have it up. A couple of other bloggers have talked about it. People have shared pictures of it on Twitter, but I guess when, like, Kotaku's the biggest dog and they make noise about it, then they're gonna get big in out of their cave, and they're gonna hit you with the ban hammer.
Yeah, Verlaine completely blames it on Kotaku. Is there any truth behind that?
I'm going to chalk it up to Kotaku. Yeah, I really think Kotaku making a stink about it is what led them to it, because there's no other reason why that would happen.
It's like no one would have cared, right? Like, no one would have cared.
I mean, like, hell, like they can be that. Like, Nintendo almost issued a strike on my channel because I uploaded like 28 seconds of a Splatfest event during Splatoon 2. I had to remove the video or they were going to nuke my channel.
That's so stupid.
Very.
Like, I'm promoting your fucking game for free.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, this, it's almost a parody at this point.
Jesus. Well, if you want to read all about this, you can check it out on our website, because Mike wrote it. GameFixShow.com. Go check that out. Another article that was written, but not by Mike in this case. Gina, she wrote up a article for some new Pokemon plush. So if you're into that, please go check it out. Looks like 4 new Pokemon plush has hit the Pokemon Center. So, yes. So go check that out. GameFixShow.com. Ooh, all right. Horizon Zero Dawn. Oh, my God. This game... I would honestly say that the game is amazing. I don't know if I could say that the game changed my life. Okay. But I would say it changed, like, my idea of what a good game should be. I guess that's the only thing that it changed, right? Well, for somebody else, apparently it's more than that. Way, way more than that. Apparently there was a lady who played Horizon Zero Dawn, and Aloy gave her the strength to actually leave the Mormon religion. And because she felt so close to Aloy, she related to Aloy so much because, you know, Aloy has been kicked out of the tribe that she was in and you name it. So this is a kind of an interesting story. And I've never actually heard somebody leaving a religion like that, other than like the Amish. Like breaking Amish, right? Isn't that like a thing? But somebody actually leaving a religion because of a video game? Oh, this is gonna put all the religious people in a tizzy. Like, oh, video games are the devil because it gave her strength. Think about that. Think about that.
How dare this game encourage you to think for yourself?
Yeah, right.
I find this fascinating because one of the topics that have come up in the probably the last decade or so, at least since the games like The Last of Us and many of Sony exclusives, since they're like so story driven, are these video games like can video games can be tiered to like really talk about real life issues?
Yeah.
And they totally can.
Absolutely.
Like games like Life is Strange, like even though I'm not a fan of Life is Strange, it does tackle things that like people can relate to. Or Hellblade: Senua's Saga.
Absolutely.
that's a story that deals with like a lot of like social anxieties and disorders. And it's a really good allegory for that. And the character Aloy, I'm going to say it. I think that she's replaced Lara Croft as like that
For sure. Good call. Good call. Because that is one of those names in video, the video game lore and whatever in history that is like synonymous with like the video game female protagonist, right? Like that is right. Protagonist is a good guy, right? I'm right. I'm thinking, okay. Antagonist is a bad guy. Okay. Sometimes I get it mixed up, but yeah, but it was like, that was it. Like that was the top, that was the ceiling. What's the one that they, Samus, I guess you can even go as far as, say yeah,
like Samus, yeah. Chun-Li.
Yeah.
Sonya Blade, maybe.
Heavenly Sword. They tried to do it.
Yeah, mixed results there.
It was good. It was a fun game. That was a fun game.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved Heavenly Sword. The character was a little cookie cutter.
Yeah. It had, for me, I don't know, we'll just get on another tangent here, but yeah, it had a lot, it felt like a God of War game, like, you know, cause it kind of had the same, you know, you could like throw the swords out, you know, really far.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. You're right. I think Aloy has really, they've really cemented that, because like at this point, like, can you name any other like big female, hero? I mean, maybe from Portal. Shell from Portal, maybe, but like, she didn't say anything.
Selene in Returnal, but I don't think Returnal's been around long enough.
No.
Kin of Bridge of Spirits. Like, and I don't hear people talk about her all that much.
Yeah.
But there really aren't many. I mean, The Ellie one is interesting because people say Ellie is like a strong character, but I haven't played The Last of Us 2, but her actions in the sequel seem to be mostly out of petty revenge. I don't think that's a very redeeming quality.
No, that is definitely not a redeeming quality, but yeah. Man.
And I feel like Aloy's like the complete package, and I think she's one of the ones that, like, she actually drew me to the game with like how her story plays out in Zero Dawn. She thinks for herself. She's pretty steadfast, and has a pretty strong ideology to follow.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that contrast to like the God of War 4 remake, where like everybody was giving like that game praise because, oh, it's Kratos and he's like helping his son out. And I played a good chunk of the game and I thought, this guy's being a total dick to this child.
Yeah.
So if there's any lessons that I learned from that, is learn to be a good father after the restraining orders.
Totally. One came up in my head, Ellie from The Last of Us. I think that would be maybe, but no,
up there.
I think I'm still with you on Aloy. Yeah. And I'm not. I'm gonna try not to be biased either. But yeah, I think I'm. Would you count a game that you could start as either a female or a male, or are we talking about like just one set, like Aloy? Because like Skyrim, kind of.
Yeah, like your character's, you know, got some ideals in there. Sure. Right there. I kind of wish the Dragonborn had more to them.
Mass Effect 2.
Oh, that's a good one.
Commander Shepard, right?
Yeah,
that's kind of that's up Shepard, there.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But it still doesn't have that, like as you said, that.
Yeah, that purpose or that narrative.
I can't think of the word
from the character.
Yeah.
So, I like that characters are kind of like fleshed out and written this way. It makes them feel like more than just avatars, that they can transcend that.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned Chun-Li, but like Chun-Li's more or less kind of like a spokeswoman for Capcom and Street Fighter, not really a character totally. You can get behind.
Yeah, and like really like, oh yeah, Chun-Li's my favorite, but like, oh okay, like, you know, but she could be anyone's favorite.
Yeah,
because it doesn't really matter. She could be a guy with the same skill set, and it could still be your favorite, right? Because you don't like the character, you like the skill set.
That right there. See, and man, I'm gonna knock you into the corner. I'm gonna kick you a bunch of times if you're dizzy, then KO you.
What's her kick called? You should know.
Lightning legs. Most of the fans just call it legs.
Lightning legs. That's it. Lightning legs. Yeah. That's the official. Okay. Because E-Han does the 100-hand slap, right?
Yep.
See,
Hakushiku. What is it?
Come on.
Hashu.
Come on, Mike.
Hashokaku.
There you go. I don't know. You could have said anything. I would have been like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that works. All right. Yeah. So, but good on the lady that, that broke Mormon to become, a real human. I'm sorry. If you're a Mormon, I apologize, but
I don't know if you're like playing it there on the campus. And
you just, although if you're like, Mormon, you should try out Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes.
Yeah, who knows?
The perfect non-secular video
game. Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. As far as video games go, there's something we got to end on before we go into just a few TV movie news is some furry controllers. Now, this is the silliest thing I may have ever seen in my entire life. At first, I thought that these were like sex, like furry sex handcuffs. You know, Mike, you know what I'm talking about, right? You always use those.
Always. Who doesn't?
Well, we're this is what we're talking about: furry Xbox controllers for the promotion of Sonic the Hedgehog, the second one that's coming out. Obviously, the blue is Sonic, and the red is Knuckles. Stroke the furry wall. How do you feel about this? Are you going to get this? Are you going to get one of these damn controllers? Tell me.
I'm depraved enough to try and get my hand on one.
Yes.
Just because.
Just to have it up on the shelf, right? Like, Yeah, totally.
Like, I love owning wacky shit like that. Yeah. Like, I'm actually sad I missed out on like the Nintendo 64 Pikachu console. Because like I've always wanted something like this. If there's anything I'm slightly sad about, they didn't make the console a giant furry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those things, they look like dust magnets. Unless it's made with some sort of like easily cleanable like synthetic material, like those are gonna get dirty fast.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. Right.
Yeah. Like it just kind of looks gross. Like I don't know about you, but like I've got pretty slippery thumbs and like slippery hands. So I feel like if I'm playing like an intense game of Overwatch or something, like I'm going to end up dropping it.
Well, not just that, actually, you know, to be fair, it might actually, lessen the blow because it's like kind of fluffy, right? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I mean, could you imagine taking a drink of like soda or something like that and just and it, like, dude, that thing is going to be sticky forever. You can't clean that. Like, you'd have to put it in the washer. Right. Obviously that's probably not a great idea because of the
and that's internals. Like the other thing I was wondering, maybe it has like a removable like Velcro thing that you can take.
Yeah, well then in that case they should just be selling a skin of it. You know, like a controller skin, but yeah, I think this is like, yeah, because okay, so you can actually sign up to win these controllers. This is not like a go online and buy it. Well, you will be able to go online and buy it after they've given them away. I'm sure that's going to happen, but this is fans can enter two sweepstakes for a chance to win the exclusive custom Xbox Series S and both it's a custom Xbox Series X or S, excuse me. So it has like Knuckles and Sonic on the front there's a ring and it's like where the grate is at the top. So that's kind of cool. Whatever.
Yeah.
It says, let's see, it controls by either retweeting the official Xbox sweepstakes tweet and including the hashtag Xbox Sonic 2 sweepstakes or 2 for fans in the US by redeeming Microsoft reward points. Visit to blah 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 terms and blah 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 blah. So yeah, just in time for the release of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 April 8th. So we got a little more than a week until that comes out. So that's cool.
If I had to throw my hat into the race just to see if it happens.
Yeah. Look at these things.
May as well.
These are just ugly. All right. All right, let's go to a few movie news. The first one is apparently, well, you actually brought this up to our attention. The Moon Knight writer, yes, criticizes Wonder Woman 1984's Egypt scenes. Okay, and this was the quote. I remember seeing Wonder Woman 1984, and there was a big sequence in Egypt, and it was a disgrace for us. You had a sheik that doesn't make any sense to us. Egypt looked like a country in the Middle Ages. It looked like the desert. Yeah. I think to like most Americans, they're like, yeah, that's what it looks like.
Patty Jenkins may as well have just had characters just wearing the full on Pharaoh getup and just living in pyramids.
Totally. Why didn't they do that?
Right.
Jeez, that movie's a train wreck without that scene. You know,
yeah.
I mean, to be fair, come on. They were, and we talked about this on our on their Patreon. They were in a fighter jet sitting next to each other. Do I need to say anything else?
Because you know those co-seated fighter jets that they made back in, you know, World War II. No, wait, that'd be why desert.
Could you imagine a fighter jet having a bench seat in the front? It's so stupid, man. That movie is so dumb.
Okay, like, hang on a second. Let me get something out of the glove compartment here.
Right. Hey, get out of the way. What are we doing here?
Like, there's like almost every scene in that fucking movie can be picked apart for being ridiculous. It didn't even occur to me until I had read that quote that, like, wait a minute, their depiction of Egypt was actually terrible.
Yeah.
Like it's like something that you'd see in like a Disney cartoon from like the early 90s.
Right.
How can we convey this as Egypt?
It was like Egypt in like 1600. Like that's like what we saw.
Right.
That's kind of what it was. Yeah, whatever. I mean, he's right.
Write your movie.
Well, you know what? You talk a lot of shit about something and then we haven't even seen what you can do as far as Moon Knight. So we're kind of waiting. And if you could talk shit, hopefully you can bring it. Cuz if you can't bring it, then we're going to make fun of you for doing that.
I'm all for developers and writers like trashing other films.
Absolutely,
like give me more of that.
Yes. That gives me life. All right.
And don't be a coward and like private your Twitter account.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. Yeah. No, don't look at mine. I'm a pansy. All right. Let's get to the this other story here. This is interesting. I gotta be honest. It's fucking awesome, if you ask me. So Christina Ricci, if you're familiar with who that is, she played Wednesday in the Addams Family movies and a couple other movies that she was. I mean, Wednesday was her height, right?
That was her height. People would say like Black Snake Moan.
Oh my
like,
God, like she was so hot in that movie, though. Holy shit! Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I had a crush on her in Casper.
Oh yeah, Casper. That's right. I forgot she was in Casper. Yeah, she kissed a ghost. It was weird. Anyway, so weird. All right. So just announced Netflix is getting a series called Wednesday. So she will be doing this role again, dude. This is like huge news, right? Like this is huge news. It'll be Wednesday as a woman now, not just a child.
I'm for this.
I actually can't wait for this to happen.
It's like I love Adam's Family. Have you seen the CGI movies that they made? Like,
oh yeah. Oh, they're so good. Like, they're so much fun. Yeah.
I love those. They freaking captured it perfectly.
I love Fester, dude. Fester in those movies is awesome. Yeah.
Like give me more of those. So like this like kind of semi-revival of Adam's Family done from a different person. Like this is the kind of reboot material that I like. If you're gonna do something with like an intellectual property, change a little bit of the source to give me a dynamic that's like completely different. Like And people would get mad that you're going to like remake He-Man or something. Well, Masters of the Universe Revolution did something a little bit different.
Okay. You know what? I have a little bit of news as far as this Wednesday thing goes. Okay, so these are the details about the role she'll be playing. And then I was wrong. I apologize. It says details about Ricci's role are being kept under wraps to protect the surprise for fans, but I can reveal that she plays a new character and not an older version of Wednesday.
Okay.
So it's a reboot?
It kind of sounds that way.
Interesting.
I guess
I'm still pretty excited about it.
I'm going to call back.
Yeah, I'm actually still pretty excited about it. Although I would like to see an older Wednesday, but you know, like Wednesday was never written as an older woman. She was always a child. So yeah. to do that, that takes some balls, but it doesn't look like they're doing that. Okay. Well, there you go. There you have it. I like it. All right. I think that's pretty much wraps us up. Anything you want to say before we say goodbye to the good people?
Just want to say once again, thank you to Bocephus for letting me borrow the WWF yes. Super WrestleMania. I will try to have that video done by probably the middle of this week. There are still awesome. A few things that I had to record. But yeah, I'm going to compile some of that footage, and that will probably be done before the end of this week.
That's awesome. Well, good. That's something to look forward to. So Bocephus, yeah, you're in good hands with your challenge. We got you, bro. We got you, bro. So, all right. Thank you, everybody that watched us live. That we do appreciate it. Thank you, everyone that downloaded the show and listened to us in your car, in your headphones, whatever, wherever you listen. So, please, thank you so much. Thank you so much. GameFixShow.com. We have tons of articles and just some good stuff. So, please go check out that website as well. On the website, you see on the right hand side, you can actually see our social medias. We'd love you. To like, subscribe, and follow us, as well as our Patreon if you'd like to support the show. I also wanted to mention that we partnered with a NFT artist, Dr. Duck Syndicate. That link is on our website. Go check it out if you are interested in buying one. That's it. Yeah, got nothing else better to say about it. So the art's pretty sweet. It's actually pretty awesome, so go check that out. So all right, Mike. I think we're good. I don't think Verlaine's going to join us. I think that's safe to say. So
you win this time, Verlaine.
Yes. So for Mike, I'm Spanish, and there's only one thing left to say, and that's, well, it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh shit! Here we go again.
Weasel.
See ya.
Turd nuggets.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on cannedairpodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.